If your knees check the weather before you do, time to check out Joint Relief Institute. Fast, FDA-approved pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Welcome back. Today's the first day of summer, and you might be planning trips to different places around the world. I want to know what the new laws are and how the new laws that have been enacted in the last couple of years are working out for travelers. And with us, we have one of the foremost experts in travel law, Jeffrey Ment. He is a member of the New York and Connecticut bars. He has over 28 years of experience helping, among other clients, representing travel companies and hospitality groups. And he's a friend of the show. Hi, Jeffrey. Welcome to the show.
Karen, thanks for having me. So, on Father's Day, and a happy Father's Day to all the listeners.
Yes, happy
there.
Father's Day to you.
Thank you.
Let's just talk about some basics, and we've covered some of this before, but I think everybody needs to kind of be reminded. There are some new laws, fairly new laws in place, about flight delays and cancellations. Can you explain to our listeners what those new laws say?
So the law has evolved favorably for travelers. So if you are on a flight that leaves much later than it was supposed to, or doesn't leave at all, or gets sent to an airport that you didn't plan to go to, you're entitled to some compensation. And you're entitled to it quickly. It's not this process that can take months. 20 days is about the most it can take that an airline has to refund you. But there are, of course, always the small fine print, which says that if you accept an alternative, they don't have to do anything for you. So it's okay, I suppose, if you're on your outbound trip and you decide to go home and not go somewhere, you're going to get a refund. But if you say, yeah, sure, I'll go to Fort Lauderdale instead of Miami, that doesn't get you a refund. So it's great, but it's not perfect. And it's definitely something that continues to evolve.
And just from a practical standpoint, you know, how should you approach these decisions? I mean, you know, I see some people in the airports get so angry at people who don't have decision-making authority. Do you have some just general common sense advice about how to deal with airlines, how to deal with, or even hotels for that matter, in how you deal with people on the phone or in person?
Yeah, I think that if you're fortunate enough to have some kind of club access, Delta Sky Club, Admirals Club, United Club, that's where you're going to get the best help. Of course, not everybody's in the club. Your secondary option are the phones. Don't stand in the lines. The lines, they never end, and people just get madder and madder as they stand there. Grab one of those phones. They are connected to people in different places, different airports, where there's less chaos at that very moment. You're going to get a faster result by grabbing a phone. Of course, you can use your own phone. You can also text the airline. You can message the airline, and you can find faster support. AI, of course, is improving airline efficiency in dealing with things. So I think that if I had a problem at an airport, that's how I would approach it.
And going back to the issue of canceled and delayed flights, does it matter if weather is the issue rather than some mechanical failure or some technical failure on the part of the airline?
No, it doesn't matter for this part of it. It does matter for other things that airlines may or may not have to do for you in terms of giving you hotel accommodations or meal vouchers. But if your flight is canceled due to some event, and you don't accept the alternative, that's a big and. But if you don't accept the alternative, then you can be looking at a refund. It goes back to the method of payment, how you paid for the ticket. And if you bought your ticket from a travel agent or a travel company and not the airline directly, both companies have an obligation to make sure you get your money back. So you can lean on both companies to try to get the money. The travel agent company is going to tell you the airline has your money, which is true. But both companies have a legal obligation to make sure you get refunded.
And let's just talk quickly about lost or delayed baggage. What are the laws and rules about it? And what advice do you have for people who are packing up their stuff?
Okay. So What a great question, because you did not know that I had looked up the recent statistics that just came out in June. You can all look online at the Air Travel Consumer Report. It comes out from the Department of Transportation. In April, that's the latest data, American Airlines, for example, took on 8,900,000 bags. That's a lot of bags in a month. How many of them got mishandled? Mishandled is a kind word, right? Lost, forgotten, demolished, 38,000. So, I don't know. If you're one of the 38,000, it's a really big deal. But if you're the other 8,860,000, you're happy. It's less than 0.5% of bags. And since O'Hare is a big United city, United took on board 6,185,000 bags, and they mishandled 32,000. They're also 0.52%. Chances are your bag's going to be fine. If it isn't fine, file a complaint. Get back the value of what the airline is obligated to pay you. And that's kind of a tricky statement, because it's not how much you think your bag is worth. It's what the airline's obligated to pay you unless you insured your bag for extra.
And there's certain things.
Don't put your prized, jewels in your bag.
Absolutely.
Carry those things.
And there's certain things that are excluded from coverage by the airlines, and you should always know what those things are, just because you might want to carry those on or not decide not to bring them.
Jewelry, special value items, highly fragile items, those are not going to be okay to pack. It doesn't matter if you stick a fragile sticker on the side of your bag. That's not going to make your bag get any kinder treatment along the way.
Nor if you put that on your forehead either.
Right.
We are here with Jeffrey Ment. He is a travel law expert. He represents travel companies and hospitality groups. So he kind of represents people on the other side of this. So he knows very, very well how to advise consumers. But let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about renting cars and travel insurance and other issues like Real ID. We'll be back in a minute on WGN. We're here talking about travel and legal issues with Jeffrey Ment. He is an expert in the area. He is a member of the New York and Connecticut bars, and he represents travel companies and hospitality groups. Jeffrey, let's talk a little bit about travel insurance. Can you give our listeners sort of travel insurance 101? Do you need it? What kinds of trips do you think that it's a beneficial piece of the travel plan?
So just like our car and home insurance, you need it when you need it, and you don't need it if nothing bad happens to you. So it's that usual rub about, should I spend it? And the answer is, if you can afford to lose the money, no, don't get travel insurance. But if the money's important to you and you want to be able to get it back for a covered reason, you should invest in travel insurance, also known as travel protection plans. And there's probably about 100 in the country that you can pick and choose from. So if you're on a website and you're buying tickets on American Airlines or Delta or United, and it's offering you insurance, you don't have to buy that company's insurance to be covered. You can go on a separate website. You can search on your own for a better premium or a better price. Your trip will still be covered by the other insurance. So don't feel that you're glued only to the insurance offered by the travel supplier.
Car rentals, do you get the extra insurance or do you not?
So I don't get the extra insurance. I've thought about it. The only thing I sometimes buy is the gas refill, because I'm one of those guys that doesn't usually stop on the way back to refill it. So I'm okay buying that. Most of the other insurance is probably something you can live without. However, if you don't have a car of your own and you don't have a credit card that has some benefits to it, you're in a category of people who should really consider it. And if you buy it in advance rather than at the day of the airport pickup, you can often get it for a cheaper price by buying it earlier. So consider that if you don't have some other kind of coverage available to you.
dealing generally with hotels and Airbnbs, do you have any just general suggestions for people on how to go about, you know, looking at cancellation policies, dealing with people and getting refunds, just some things people should be aware of?
So the laws have evolved here as well, with fewer hidden fees in hotels. The old trick of the resort fee, something you didn't really know until you got to the resort, and it was another $50 to $100 a day at some places, that's usually gone by the wayside now. So when you're shopping online, and these are called OTAs, online travel agencies, things like hotels.com, booking.com, when you're looking at those websites, the price you see in the first pop-up of the price should be the price. There should not be a new price three screens later that's much higher. So if you see something that doesn't look right, it's interchangeable. Find a different website. You'll find that same hotel on a different website, and you'll possibly find it for less. So do a little bit of comparison shopping between the websites. You might save $5. You might save $15. It's not going to be a humongous savings, but you should look around a little bit. There's a lot of competitiveness in the hotel space online.
There is a new law that is has to do with people with disabilities. Can you just briefly tell us what that new law requires?
So, Karen, that is a super frustrating area. The new law is really from 2024. It had some implementation language for now, for June of 2026. In 2025, the Trump administration, DOT, put a freeze on some of the implementation of the new law. The best thing in the law, I guess, is that the airlines are going to have a responsibility for your broken or demolished assisted device, and they won't be able to blame somebody else other than they can try to blame you if it was already prior damage. So DOT tracks statistics on wheelchair complaints, and in April 2026, way ahead of all everybody else with complaints is Southwest. Southwest had 203 complaints on mishandled wheelchairs and scooters out of 19,000. By comparison, American Airlines had 100, but Delta only had 26. So you need to file complaints when something happens so that things can change. And so I do encourage everyone who encounters something that you find not right, take 5 to 10 minutes, go on the DOT website, log in your complaint so that something can happen, because they send these complaints to the airlines who have to answer for what's happened. And at times the answer is a financial penalty. The good news in April 2026 is there were zero reports of lost, injured, or dead animals.
Transport. Well, that's so good. Thank you for making.
We need to end on a high note.
We do.
The animals did all right in April 2026.
I like that a lot. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to talk just briefly about cruise ships. We've seen a lot of stuff on cruise ships: sexual assaults, illnesses, and these types of things. If you're going to sue a cruise ship for anything, what are the rules? These are a whole set of different rules, right? Can you just briefly tell our listeners what the rules, how they differ generally?
When you get on a cruise ship right here in America, you should, in your mind, think you're no longer in America. And American law may apply or it may not apply. And if it does apply, it's going to apply the way the cruise line wants it to, in Florida most of the time, within a year most of the time, after you've given written notice within 30 days. So the fine print in cruise ship contracts is vitally important if something goes wrong. And having gone to law school at the University of Miami, there's a cottage industry of lawyers down there that focus on cruise ship injuries. That's who you need to call when something happens to you on a cruise ship. bypass your local neighbor, your friend, your local Illinois lawyer. Call one of these cruise ship injury specialist attorneys, because it's very complicated and it's so easy to do it wrong, and then you're out of luck.
Absolutely. And if you need a referral, I have a couple of that I've worked with and referred clients to, and they've really done a great job and they know their stuff, because you're right. You're not in Kansas anymore when you're on a cruise ship. That's for sure.
No, you're in Liberia. You're in the Bahamas. Yeah, and you don't even know it.
And you don't even know it. Yeah.
You're drinking away and kaboom.
That's right.
That happens.
Jeffrey Ment, thank you so much for joining us as usual. It was a delight and it was informative. How do people get in touch with you? Now, you normally represent travel companies and hospitality groups, travel agents. But, you know, if anyone who is in that group wants to talk to you about representing
sure,
them.
Just find us at mentlaw.com, mentlaw.com.
Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day and have a great rest
Thanks.
Of your summer.
See you later, Karen.
All
Thank
right.
You.
Take Bye-bye. Care.